Welcome back to another episode of Comrades, a weekly discussion of epic series, The Americans. My name is Scott Malkus. I'm one of your hosts, and with me, as always, is Jeff Marchick, speaking to you from the great state of New England. That's not a state, I know.
New England's a state. Someone failed geography. Well, I am in New England, but we'll call it the state of Connecticut, which is an actual state.
Oh, well, I was acting like I was in fifth grade because that's about the time this episode takes place. Was it fifth or sixth grade? God, what grade were we in 82, Jeff?
82? Let's see. We were 12, so...
In the winter of 82.
Winter of 82 would have been...
Not the fall.
We weren't 12 yet, so we were 11, so we'd be... That's sixth grade.
Sixth grade. Okay, we're in sixth grade. Yeah, what year were you born?
70?
Okay, yeah, you're right.
I suppose I can put that out over the air, right?
I was born in 69, ladies and gentlemen. I'm an old man. Or at least I feel like an old man. I feel like a number, and I'm not a number. Name that song. All right, this week's... Once again, Jeff and I are...
Our intros become more and more random the longer we do this show.
Jeff, what are you doing? Jeff is, like, looking around as if he's dropped his computer.
I'm looking for a pen.
I have one right here.
Oh, thanks. You want to just hand it to me?
I'm in Los Angeles. I'm actually in a... Can't handle a pen. This week's episode of The Americans was a good one, wasn't it, Jeff?
It was a good one. Okay,
I just
we're like punch drunk. It's like it's 9 o'clock West Coast, the midnight 20 East Coast, and it was a good episode this week. Oh my lord!
I have to explain that my computer does not like it when I do anything but Skype at the same time I'm doing it with Jeff, so I can't go on to the internet while I'm talking with Jeff. So Jeff, tell us the name of this episode because I didn't write it down.
So the name of this episode is Behind the Red Door.
Behind the Red Door, which has significance all over the place. But there's actually a red door in this episode, isn't there?
There is a red door. It's, what did she call it?
Something Autumn.
No, something Tango.
Tango and Cash.
Oh, my gosh. You know, first time I ever saw that movie, I was like, this movie is awesome. Second time I saw it, I was like, this might be the worst movie ever made.
But Jack Palance is in it. Tango.
He is, oh my gosh, love Jack Palance.
Do you know that originally I believe that Kurt Russell was supposed to play the uptight guy? He was supposed to, was that Tango or Cash? But he told Tango. Stallone he did not want to play that because he had just played that in Tequila Sunrise, so they switched.
Oh.
And Tequila Sunrise is an awesome movie.
That is a good movie. Yep.
Mel Gibson, Michelle Pfeiffer, and some guy named Kurt Russell. It was awesome. All right, and who wrote this week's episode, Jeff?
Writer of this week's episode was Melissa James Gibson.
And who directed it?
It was Charlotte. But you really don't have anything in front of you, do you? Charlotte Seeling.
Now, I will say this. When I saw the credits, I was like, awesome. A female tag team on this episode.
That was cool. I noticed that, too. I thought that was really interesting. I just have to look up
who
they've done before.
Yeah, I don't know anything they've done before. While Jeff looks up this stuff, we're going to just jump right in. We'll talk about the teaser. In the teaser, the episode opens. It is Claudia, Elizabeth, and Philip, and they are planning a hit on this dude named Larrick. And as you may recall, Larrick is supposedly the guy who could have killed Emmett and Luann. Yes, we are. The ramification of Emmett and Luann. Excuse me, we'll let burp into the mic.
Yeah. Nice.
And the ramifications.
That's a lady.
Oh, thank you. No, Jeffrey. The ramifications of this assassination are obviously going to carry over through the whole season. That's or at least until the penultimate episode. And then something crazy will happen at the end of the season, which will set up next season. One thing that I noticed about immediately is that Claudia is acting very strange throughout this. She's asking a lot of questions about how they're going to carry out the plan, what they're going to do. But she's kind of I keep feeling like she's acting rogue in this whole thing. Like she's unaccounted for. She gets a nice little jibe and she goes, "How's your new handler? She graduated from high school yet?"
Which I thought was awesome. Was yeah.
But they say, "Oh, we're gonna go." You know, she wants to keep her name out of what's going on. I keep getting the feeling that she's unaccounted for by the center. Do you get that feeling?
Yeah, there's definitely, she's definitely sketchy, especially in the beginning. And I couldn't tell her bitterness towards the new handler. Was it because she had been pushed out, you know, in favor of something? First of all, whatever's going on with the center, the cracks are starting to show in the whole, KGB, support system and the, you know, the higher ups, you know, there's not, you know, we've seen it already where they pulled surveillance off the kids because, oh, something else came up. And you know, you just kind of, talking with Philip and Elizabeth, there are times when they talk about the center where there's looks across their faces that are kind of like, really, we're not getting, you know, it's not like they're getting 100% support from the center. So right. At first I thought with Claudia being kind of shifty, how she was, that she was just bitter that, you know, some fresher, younger face got put in place of her. But, you know, I think that what she reveals a little bit later on kind of tipped the hand as to why she's being, right. Why she's nervous.
Right. But when she reveals it later on, I still think that she's kind of gone off the grid as far as the center is concerned. Although they make no mention of her being lost or not being back in Moscow. I thought she was supposed to be shipped back to Moscow.
Right.
Unless that's what happens at the end. They've tied up. She's tying up loose ends. I don't know. But the teaser immediately sets up that Philip and Elizabeth are going to go track down Mr. Larrick. And that's a quick little scene. And then we cut to Stan with his first secret meeting of Oleg. And this whole episode to me was about sexual politics is what I would call it. I mean, in the literal sense, there was sex and politics, but I think sexual politics were used in this episode, especially with Oleg. Basically, he knows that he can read Stan pretty well. I think Oleg is a sly character. We all thought he was kind of a bit of an idiot and a D-bag when he showed up, but he's actually a lot smarter than we think, as we find out later in the episode, too.
Yeah.
He tells Stan, you know what? I see you have feelings for Nina, and if you want her safety, you're going to help me out. And Stan's like, what is it you want? And he gets the twitch. And Oleg says, I want my FBI surveillance logs. And Oleg is, you know, he's playing Stan, you know. And it's kind of like a new turn in the series. This kind of new chapter in the series, I feel like, with this whole Oleg-Stan thing going on. The turning of Stan, I mean, is seriously underway now. He's under turmoil throughout this whole episode, both at home and with Gad.
Oleg says something. Go ahead. Oleg says something that I thought was interesting, where he says that he wants I want the FBI surveillance logs, but he says I have my own needs, my own problems.
Yeah,
and you know, again, between watching all the shows that I watch, I've learned not to take anything just at face value. There wasn't just, you know, dialogue for dialogue's sake. There's, you know, something that he's, some kind of operation that he's running. One thing that I'm jumping a little bit ahead here, but one thing I thought was interesting was later on Oleg and Arkady.
Yeah.
He hands him the logs. Arkady wasn't dismissive of him anymore. It wasn't kind of like, oh, you little punk ass, just give me give me this stuff. It was almost kind of like he was, you know, there actually seemed to be a genuine level of respect there, or subservience almost.
And there is an agenda that, you know, since we've jumped ahead there, it revealed that Oleg is not acting on his own.
Right.
He has obviously briefed Arkady, and I don't know how much Nina knows, but this whole thing of meeting, I mean, it was all a setup. It was obviously that Oleg knew how to play Nina, or he fed Nina the information to tell Stan, and Oleg obviously conferred with Arkady to say, I'm going to play this guy, we're going to help turn him, and Yeah, because that when that scene happened, when he opens the doors and carries the logs, I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
He's in on it. That's right. Awesome. So they're really, it's I think it's full throttle turning Stan. And wouldn't it be interesting by the end of this series that Stan turns and he becomes the working for the KGB and Philip and Elizabeth? Start working for the FBI.
That'd be
crazy. That'd be right out of Alias.
Yeah. The Alias and their like triple secret. There were more. First she was an agent, then she was a double agent, then she was a triple agent. I mean, at some point you become so many agents, you just come right back around and you're just an agent all over again.
I think Nita's considered a triple agent, to be honest, because she works. She's kind of working for the center, then she's working for Stan, and then she's working for the center again. So she's, I don't know. Who knows? I don't know how that works, and I'm not really familiar with it. This is one of those great podcasts, and I know our listeners are loving it. All right, we move on to Act 1 of the Behind the Red Door. Do you think that's some kind of play Behind the Yellow Door? Remember that? You ever heard of that movie? I think that was Behind the Green Door. Green Door was
famous. Come on, get your adult film straight.
That was the second most popular movie after Deep Throat.
That's right.
Ooh, Deep Throat was the name of the character in the Watergate movie, All the President's Men. I wonder if they're doing a little play there. They're really trying to trick us. And the only reason I say it is because of John Belushi. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
Our next scene is a meeting with Captain Larrick. And Captain Larrick is played by Lee Tergesen. Do you know who Lee Tergesen is? I first became familiar with Lee on the show Homicide, Life in the Streets.
Oh, yeah.
He was the cop who got blinded. And then he came to fame as I don't know, the lover of on Oz. Did you ever see Oz?
I watched some of it. I didn't watch the entire series.
Yeah, he was on Oz. He was the main character at the beginning of the show, the guy who was a drunk driver manslaughter, and he was our introduction to Oz. And he ended up falling with J.K. Simmons, and him became like lovers and some kind of psychotic relationship. But anyway, I don't want to go off on Oz because Oz was just a disturbing series in my...
It was.
Anyway. Philip and Elizabeth pose as CIA, and they call out Larrick on his KGB spy work, and they're basically fishing, right?
Right.
And what kind of information are they trying to get? Well, what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to find out whether he killed... God, why don't I let you answer, Jeff, even though I asked you the question?
Well, I'll answer that. I'll answer the question.
Please.
So they're fishing to find out, why he killed his KGB handlers. And so they pull out the picture of Emmett and Leanne, and, he looks at it. He looks at the picture, and he's just like, well, would it bother you if I did? And they're like, well, why don't you tell us if you did? And he's like, you know what? I think you guys are fishing. And you can just see, like, the look on Philip's face. He's kind of like, yeah, well, we kind of are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, he basically says, and as he's doing this, she's, Elizabeth's ready to pull a gun out of her garter holster and, do him there. And he's like, no, I didn't do it. But, they had it coming. I was just a couple meetings away from knowing their home, where they lived and everything about them. So
let's pause for a second.
Pause.
Where were they meeting?
They were meeting at some space that they rented.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. Yeah. They're at some facility that they had rented.
Okay.
Which is why they, she could have gotten away with capping them.
Right. Cause that kind of was like, what the, where are they? She's just going to kill them right there. Okay. All right. Well then, an important thing happens in this besides Larrick, stating that he did not kill them. Although he says, some bastards got to them before I did. So he wanted to kill them.
But he was actually, and he says that he was out of the country. He was on Operation
Marshall Eagle. And that is a big turning point. And another turning point. Oh, a bunch of turning points. Everything's turning left and right.
Turn.
To every season. Little Pete Seeger. he does make an interesting statement here. He says, the Soviets are going to take it left, right, and sideways for the next 20 years. Now that we have a president who can handle them, whatever damage I've done, I'm making up for it in where, Jeff? Nicaragua.
That's right.
Nicaragua. And we know what that means. That's going to bring back our friend, Alicia, who we met.
Lucia.
I'm not on tonight. I'm very sorry. So
it was really funny because after watching this episode, I watched the Goldbergs, which I love. And
you love that show.
I love that show.
Did they have? Was it about the arms race? Was it about Nicaragua? Was it about Iran-Contra?
Well, kind of. It had Adam, the little kid. He's in gym class, and they've got to do the national fitness test or the that national thing that we had to do every year, the presidential fitness test. That was it. And he's like scared of it, and the gym teacher is like, kind of cajoling him into like, you have to do pull-ups because you may have to, reach out and grab a commie and break his neck. And if you can't do a pull-up, it's pretty funny. I just thought of it because it was the whole '80s thing.
Communism that made you think the Iran-Contra made you.
Because the gym coach also a gym teacher also references Ronald Reagan and there's a Reagan appearance in this episode, and
maybe they could have a crossover between the Goldbergs and the Americans. No,
that would be interesting.
That would be terrible. Okay, so we cut back to Marshall Lee. We find out that they don't kill him. He's like, I'm not going to kill this guy, right? Because of this Marshall legal thing.
Well, because they don't know. Yeah, because they don't know if he, Philip and Elizabeth, don't think that he killed Emmett and Leanne.
They are for sure. Yeah,
yeah, they're not sure about it, but they can. They're going to be able to get some information about Marshall Eagle, which is a big thing because this is. Turned up before, so
has it turned up before? Because I can't remember it turning up.
But Claudia says that it showed up in their transmissions before. Some of their stuff that they've gotten. It wasn't a new operation to her.
Now Claudia's after they've met with Larrick, they do meet with Claudia again, and she's again acting all freaked out and scared. So something's up with Claudia, which we'll find out later. And they played that up pretty well. We cut to Philip and Elizabeth coming home, and they decide to get it on because they're all hyped up. I should say that Elizabeth is really kind of horny for Clark. She's horny for being taken and made his own. I think she's fooling herself or something. She is a piece of work. She is messed up, man.
Yeah.
Because as we'll later find out, when she gets what she wants, it's not what she wants, and she is confused and
that was a tough scene.
The Russians really screwed with them. And what I'm getting more of is like this kind of split personality thing going on. The confusion of who I am is continuing to pop up. She starts that conversation. Philip and Elizabeth. They start to make love, and then later on, after they're done, and for some reason, Philip is completely clothed, and she's completely naked. I was like looking at them like, what?
Yeah, that was a gratuitous butt shot on Kerry Russell.
But to me, it's like, there must be a reason that they did that, because this show is very,
Yep. I don't know. Maybe showing the dichotomy of clothed versus naked in.
She's burying her soul, and he's trying to hide something.
She was burying her butt, but
she was burying her butt. That was a bit of. I was like, Kerry Russell, but
she works out.
That's not what I was thinking.
No, that's not what I was thinking.
But she brings up Martha's comments about Clark's appetite. And his sexual appetite. And she goes, isn't that funny? Isn't that funny that she said he would be an animal in bed? And Phil is kind of disturbed by that. But the thing that struck me about her starting this conversation, she says, when Jennifer was visiting Martha, and it starts, that point right there started me thinking, the sense of identity that these there must be a loss, because she's not even herself. She's not herself. She's not Elizabeth. You know, she's someone else. She's a Russian woman.
But I think that
he's not Philip. He's, you know, Sasha.
Right. And I think that that's a way that you compartmentalize, you know, it's not all that different from acting, right? When you're in a role, you're compartmentalizing your Daniel Day-Lewis, right? You're Daniel Day-Lewis at some point, but right now you're Lincoln while you're filming Lincoln. So you're compartmentalizing, and it helps keep, and when you're a spy, it helps keep the story straight. If you only think of you and the character in the roles. If you're like, yeah, I went and visited Clark, you know, that muddles the, you know, what the roles are. This way you keep it in distinct silos of identity.
I agree with that, except that for these people, there's nobody saying cut. There's never a cut. You know, there's no, you know, for an actor, a play ends, a movie ends, and you somehow get your real life back. And these right. people will never get that, you know. I mean, there must be a part of her that thinks, are these, you know. I just think that for her, it must be confusing. She has these children. She loves these children, but they've got a different name than what her real name is. And she's lying to these children to an nth degree. It's got to be confusing for her, for Elizabeth. And Clark, too. I think at the end, Clark's going through. He's going crazy too. That end scene when he's looking in the mirror, he's freaking out too. What have I become? Who am I? You know, and I think that for him, he's got to be even worse, because he's playing, you know, he's got to act like a married guy to this woman that he doesn't, you know, really doesn't love, and spend multiple, you know, days with her, you know, so that's going to be crazy too. I'm sorry that I got off that sidetrack. While Philip and Elizabeth were getting on, Stan comes home. Stan is messed up in that, because now he's like beginning entrapped by Oleg to do dirty work. Stan, the ultimate soldier, the super American, is now going to have to basically betray his country and give stuff to Oleg in order to protect Nina. And part of me feels like he's flashing back to the whatever he did before he moved into the suburbs.
Right.
That this is all happening again. I would love to see a flashback episode of what happened to Stan and where he, you know, what he was doing. So, Stan comes home, and guess what? His wife has painted the door. What color she painted that door, Jeff?
She painted it tomato tango.
Tomato tango. Or as we like to call it, red.
Red.
which is heavy on the symbolism, because Stan comes home having just met and now giving information. He's going to give information to the KGB, and what does that make him? A commie. He's working with the commies.
What are commies?
They're red.
Oh, that's full right. circle.
And Stan is at home. He's feeling the walls closing in. And what is his wife and son talking about?
Well, they're talking about John Belushi's death.
That's right. One of the greatest living actors, comedians of our generation. And that would be John Belushi, who died. And he died in March of 1982. And so to me,
March 5th, specifically.
That was one of the – John Lennon and John Belushi, I remember specifically those two deaths. I guess I was starting to really be cognitive of what was happening in the press. But Belushi, you know, I'd seen – the Blues Brothers on TV, you know, and I'd seen bits and pieces of Saturday Night Live. So I knew who this guy was. I knew he was a comic genius. And I was like, wow, that was just devastating. And it was also, you know, eye opening. This, you know, first indication is like, hey, don't do drugs.
You know? Right.
Which surprised me, because the casualness that the Stan's wife says, oh, well, everybody's time is come at some point. You know, you never know. One day you're here, one day you're not. You know, right. It's like, well, he was shooting up heroin and cocaine. You know, he could have lived a little longer. But, so, to me, that was a significant thing, because this is really, I felt like, one of the first indications of a time period of where we're at, you know?
Yeah.
Don't you, do you? I mean, besides Reagan's assassination in season one, or assassination attempt, I'm sorry, he was on.
Well, we've been playing that game like every episode, where it's we try to decipher the clues. All right, what day are we? You know, what year are we in? Where are we in the timeline? So it was kind of cool to have something where you're okay. Now we're oriented. Now we know you know, where we are.
Right.
I just thought it was funny. Sandra, the thing that struck me about Sandra was that we've seen her go, she's half a step away from Woodstock hippie. You know, she's, look at, she did the
culty,
you know,
stuff.
Yeah.
That must be
all
what
that
happens
stuff.
After the hippie. You become a cult. Go ahead.
So this episode, she painted the front door and she alludes to feng shui, right? Which is, you know, that. So she's just like, she just keeps moving farther and farther to the left. And, you know, Stan's, he doesn't like recognize his family anymore. I mean, he's just sitting there at the table and he's just looking like, and then, so his wife's talking about tomato tangoing the door and feng shui, you know, other things. And his son's quoting,
Animal House.
And Stan's just like, wait, what?
What's Animal House? He's like, yeah. I was knee deep in rednecks, Nazi guys while you were watching it or something. I envision him being like embedded with the Sons of Anarchy.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I see Stan was like. He's kind of got that rough look, and he did some nasty things.
He was Rust Cole in
the late 70s. Or he was hanging out in the Club 54 selling lots of coke, I don't know, bringing down Scarface.
I'm leaning more towards Sons of Anarchy.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, Act Two begins, and hey, there's Ronald Reagan on the TV talking about Afghanistan.
Yes.
Why is Afghanistan important?
Because of the Russians.
What did the Russians do? They invaded Afghanistan. That's right. And what did we do to help out the Afghanistanis? Afghanis. What did we do, Jeff? Anybody who's seen Charlie's Wilson War will know.
Well, I didn't see Charlie Wilson's War.
Well, it's not really worth saying except for Phil Seymour Hoffman, who's like in another movie. Like, Tom Hanks is cool and great. I love Tom Hanks. And then there's Julia Roberts, who's, I don't know what. But then there's Philip Seymour Hoffman, who's like literally.
Wasn't there a full frontal on Kathy Bates in this hot tub?
No, that's about Schmidt.
Oh, okay.
With Jack Nicholson. That movie has nothing to do with.
Oh, no, I just. What? I thought she was a Charlie Wilson for.
Her is about the guy who helped bring money and
Right. I thought there was a full frontal scene in a hot tub.
That's in About Schmidt.
Oh, okay.
Which is now.
I was way off.
Yeah, yeah. Not even close. Although Kathy Bates did appear in a movie with Philip Seymour Hoffman, but they were no full frontal movie.
Okay.
Anyway. So, yes, we of course, funded the rebels in Afghanistan, and they stood down, they fought down the Russians, and then that.
Like we funded the Contras in Nicaragua.
Exactly, the Contras in Nicaragua. So we have a history of funding people fighting against communists. So, hey, there's Kate. Philip and Kate meet in a bar. Kate's a little tougher now.
Yes.
It's interesting. She's got a little backbone now. She's like not just she shows.
I'll take a vodka straight. It's a little bit early for that. It's a bar.
Yeah. There was an interesting thing about this episode too, is that you saw like the next generation coming.
Yes.
You saw that in Kate and you saw that in Lucia. How they're like badass. They're like, there's a little bit of an attitude, you know, towards Philip now, you know, she's like, yeah, I know what I'm doing, you know, shut up.
Oh yeah, yeah. Gone is the schoolgirl. I want to impress you, you know, that she was last episode,
right? And so Kate is surprised because Philip is telling them, look, we went and saw this Larrick guy. She's like, you're seeing Larrick alone? What's that all about? Because Claudia said, hey, don't use my name, which furthers my feeling that she's kind of, you know.
She's rogue.
She's got her own purposes going. She's got her
own
problems.
I mean the character from the X-Men.
She's got her own problems, to quote Oleg.
That's right.
Everybody's got their own problems. And so Kate's surprised at acting alone, and then Philip says, well, we're going to find out what this martial eagle thing is. But they find out that it has to do with Nicaragua. And so he's like, well, we need to get more information on it. And then we want to take this guy down. She's like, don't take him down. He's like, well, I want to take him down. So she says she'll relay information while she's downing her vodka. Meanwhile, Stan, this episode is full of a lot of great stuff. Stan goes to steal the FBI log on Oleg, and And he runs into problems, doesn't he, Jeff?
He walks into the room where there's supposed to be boxes filled with papers and journals and stuff. He goes and he's like, where is everything? And there's, you know, a little a tech geek who's working on an OCR computer, printing stuff out to a dot matrix.
Dot matrix.
And you just see, like, yeah, you know, the guy's like, oh, it's fabulous. You know, we've got all this stuff. It's here. Look, give me the name. What's the name? Oh, the name is Oleg, whatever it is. And he types it in. And then, look, it'll print out over there on the printer. And Stan, you know, the twitch, he's just kind of like, really? This is better? How?
Where are the logs? It's like, oh, we got rid of those. Everything's in the computer now for everyone to see. It's always there. It's like,
yeah.
Ooh. Okay, but the computer comes into play later, as we know. Computers are going to have an important part of the show.
Which is funny, because when you're watching the beginning of the whole internet and you know, the computers and how they're starting to, you know, change business processes, the first thing that goes through my mind is, well, and they hadn't thought of this back then when they first started doing it, but it was like, oh, you're going to get the logs? Nowadays, it'd be like, okay, you're printing out the logs. That's going to set off a security alarm somewhere. Right. Or someone's going to, you know, you're going to leave a trail that you printed those logs out. But back then, you didn't have to worry about that stuff.
It was you know, it's funny. I just thought about John Belushi again and how the Blues Brothers predicted what they have in police cars now. Sorry. I don't remember. They get pulled over and the police pull over and Elwood says to John, like, oh, I think they have SCMODs or some kind of mobile system to look up data on cars and stuff like that, which sounded really crazy at the time, right?
Yeah.
Now, every police car has a laptop, basically, that he drives around with.
Yeah.
Computers, they're crazy. So, here we go. We cut to Elizabeth, and she's talking about Martha again. She's had a little moment. She's really playing up this Martha thing. She wants the Clark. She wants the Clark experience.
This was a tough scene. I mean, this was so she's at Clark's apartment, and he shows up. He's like, "Oh, you're here," and he goes to take his.
Oh no, that's later, dude.
No, it's in this act.
No, it isn't.
Isn't
that's
it?
At the end.
Oh, okay.
We're at the page quits.
Oh, you're right. You're right. This is the playful moment in the kitchen.
This is chapter 3, Page Quits Volleyball.
I actually like this the playfulness between Carrie Russell and Matthew Reese in this scene where she was just like, oh, you know,
she's like, yeah, she's like, what are you afraid? She's like kind of devilish.
It was funny. It was fun. It was cute. I liked it. And then Paige. You know,
we find out that Paige has been lying. Paige quit volleyball, and we've all been there. I was there. You were that age once. I remember in sixth grade, I quit being on the safety patrol, and I went to school for a whole full week, still pretending I was on safety patrol.
Even
I quit. Yeah, and then finally, I started feeling real guilty. I was like, "Mom, I quit." And they were so. They said the worst thing ever. We're so disappointed in you. That was worse than them being mad. Oh no, we're not mad at you. We're just very disappointed. Then they left the room for me to live with the consequences. I did not join safety patrol again. It was the orange thing. I just was like, I peer pressure and.
Was that the crossing guard thing?
Yeah, that's crossing guard. Safety patrol. Yeah. You didn't do that?
Nope.
You were too cool for that, weren't you?
No, I was never. I never was in a position to do that.
Oh, that would have been the ultimate position for you, though. I mean, you were like
I'd have been hardcore. Yeah.
You would have been like, take it. Hey, get out of the crosswalk, grab him by the throat, throw him down. When I say don't cross the crosswalk, don't cross the crosswalk.
I would have. I'd have had like, you know, I would have strung out like a string of nails in case cars came up, you know, and blow their tires so it protect the kids in the crosswalk. I mean, I'd take myself seriously.
Yes.
But I didn't.
You didn't do it. In the midst of yelling at Paige, saying, why did you quit volleyball? Why did you quit volleyball? The basement guy calls again. And
I like these coded messages.
Yeah. What did he call about? I can't remember why he called. I'm trying to complete blank to why he called.
Yeah, it was like some service that they were up. Well, no, we already have a service. Are you sure? Because our rates are really good. Yeah, I'm sure. And she hangs up.
Oh, maybe that was a signal to meet.
Yeah,
because next Kate and Elizabeth and Philip meet.
Yeah, those are all those coded messages are. I think that it all begins. She knows who it is when he calls her when he asks for.
I miss No, this is
Mrs. Like, I'm Mrs. Yeah, that's the initial code.
Right. So next we have Kate and Elizabeth and Philip meet with, and she tells them what martial eagles. They're training Nicaragua Contras on U.S. soil. They're not doing it down in Nicaragua. They're doing it in the U.S.
Right.
Which is crazy to me. But they're bringing rebels here, and they're like, you know, Area 51, I guess. And it's like, okay, now don't mind the aliens over there. We're training you to fight communists.
Yeah, that's crazy to us now. But, like, back in the day, that was like, yeah, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine doing that, like, now?
No, there's no way. There's no way you could pull half the stuff.
That'd be like flying.
There's no way you could keep. Well, there's no way you could really keep it a secret. I think that it would come out. Someone would say something to someone on a phone, and I mean, they may be able to keep it a secret for like a week.
Oh, we just brought a plane load of Ukrainians over. Oh, it's the Ukrainian national basketball team. We're doing a.
Oh, these Nicaraguans. They're training to you. They're training in Colorado. They're bobsled team. And that's the Nicaraguan Winter Olympics team. Don't mind them. But they're not skiing or anything. No, well, we're conditioning them first. It's part of a program. Don't worry about it. Kate says,
Nothing to see here.
They're instructed that nothing is more important than your safety. But then Elizabeth says, well, sounds like something is.
Yeah, the center is like, I mean, that conversation.
Center is playing with them, man.
It's totally letting them down, and I think it's starting to. Philip and Elizabeth are starting to see it.
Philip and Elizabeth are supposed to find out where this camp is and go to the camp.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what? And they're like, well, what about nothing's more important than your safety, but find out this information and so we can take care of it.
Later they find out that the only way that they can pull that off is they have to basically, let Larrick know who they are.
Because, right.
You know, in order for him to get to the meeting, he's not going to know where the location is until about 2 minutes before he has to ship out.
Right.
So they've got to tip their hand to him.
Right, which they will do later on. What this brings up is, like, Elizabeth is instructed to find out something about this operation, and it just so happens that the congressman who could help her out is the same congressman whose aide was almost dead in the backseat of a car and Elizabeth saved a few weeks ago. As you all recall, South American. Was she from Nicaragua? Where's she from? I can't remember. I think she's from Nicaragua.
She's Nicaraguan, yeah.
Okay, sorry. She is an agent working undercover as an intern, and she was dating this congressional aide on the instructions of Elizabeth. And so she calls her again. She's like, hey, Lucia, hey, I need you to sneak me into the congressman's office. And she's like, hey, have you slept with him yet? Are you his girlfriend? She's like, no, you got to make him want. You got to make him work for it. You know, I mean, basically, every time Elizabeth is with this woman, I feel like Elizabeth's the old, Elizabeth is acting like, you look at Kara Russell to me and she's like, oh yeah, she's Kara Russell. She's Felicity. She's in her mid-20s because she has that really youthful appearance. But you forget Kara Russell's like all right, she's like almost 40, right?
Right, right.
So she's got this experience. She's got 20 years of experience of being in the U.S. And so she's the dad. She's the mom in this. Yeah, I said dad. She's not the dad. She's the mom. Sorry. Right. She's the mom telling the youngster how to do their job, and the youngster's like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. I'm out here on my own already. I don't need your advice, you Russian KGB spy. and Lucia's like, she's all gung-ho, man. She's like ready to go to war, you know, whatever it takes. And Elizabeth's like, okay, just easy now. You know, you don't want to
rein it in a little bit.
So what happens next is Lucia gets seduces the congressional aide, right?
Yep.
And he's like snorting coke on the desk. I mean, it's the 80s, man. There's coke everywhere, right?
Yep.
And while she does that, she plays him, gets him to open up the doors to the congressman's office, and then she gets him to have sex with her. And very disturbing. I thought that was a very uneasy scene, didn't you? It was kind of
What, with President Ronald Reagan looking down
on them? Ronald Reagan watching the act, smiling down on them as they're doing it from behind, doggy style, as they like to call it.
She's bent over the desk, and she looks up, and there's the picture of Ronald Reagan looking down on her. Yeah,
and the congressional guy, he's looking at Reagan. He's like, Gipper, look at me, baby. Look at me, Gip. But then there's, like, Elizabeth is, like, in the room.
She's in the congressman's room. Listening to all this.
Right. And she has some very strange looks on her face, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she is seeing it from the other side, almost.
Yeah.
She's been that woman for so long, and that's why I said, like, sexual politics are part of this now. Whereas, you know, Lucy is using sex to get something for the greater good, and right. Now Elizabeth is kind of, I felt like she's thinking about that. She's like, what are we doing to this poor girl? We're throwing her body in order for me to get in this office. There has to be another way, or there should be another way. And it's almost like a feminist thing. It's like, we're just meat. We're just pawns. Right. I mean, I keep going back to what we know about her from the pilot episode, which is that she was, you know, raped in Russia before she even came to America, that she has no trust of men. She has no... You know, her identity was stripped from her long ago, and I feel like she's starting to crack. There's cracks starting to show in her.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely by the end of this. So that goes to the end of that act, and then we come back, and Elizabeth is in the congressman's office, and she's digging through his safe. She breaks in the safe, master safe. You notice nobody ever wears gloves in this show. Everybody's fingerprints are everywhere. You know, because it's not.
Well, they were no, but see, they used to be good about it. Like when Philip went through that that guy's house, he was wearing gloves. When she went through Emmett and Leanne's house, she was wearing gloves.
Was she wearing?
No, they were. She was careful to like not touch things with her fingers. Like she had, you know, a cloth or something. She wasn't wearing gloves. But yeah, they've been.
Okay.
I saw it was funny that she's using a stethoscope to pick a safe. And
well, that they didn't have those cool electronic devices we have now. I like what I like about this show is they don't BS us. They don't say they don't do James Bond gadgets like, you know.
Right.
I mean, those gadgets eventually become reality, obviously, but they're not making crap up. You know, it's like, oh, you know, I had this device all along. I can, you know, like if you watch Alias. It's like, oh, you see this device here? That guy always annoyed the crap out of me.
Yeah.
It's like this, oh, it's the scientist guy at every show. Hey, if you wear this lapel, it'll record your voice. Hey, hey, hey. It's like, whatever. Of course, we always thought the shoe phone was, you know, a mobile phone was ridiculous, but now look where we're at. And Get Smart. Sorry, another spy show.
Yeah, now we've got Google Glass. I mean.
Yeah. Just what we need. More reasons to be distracted while we're driving our cars.
Yeah, no doubt.
So what she found? What did she find in that congressman's safe?
Okay, so what she found were plans and schematics for ARPANET.
And what is ARPANET, Jake?
Jake? Well,
I'm sorry, Jeff. Jeez. I just called you my son's name. Jeez, I'm sorry. That is
Well, Dad,
oh, this show, this episode's off the rails.
Well, ARPANET is basically it's the precursor to the internet. It's all the signaling and the infrastructure that eventually becomes the internet.
And it goes back all that way far. It always surprises me how far back these things go.
Yeah. Yep.
But then I think about, like, I was using email in college in 91, which is cool. I was on – so it always is, like, cool to see how – you know, I guess it's just cool to me to see, like, oh, really did – you know, they were thinking about these things forever, you know?
Dude, I remember the Mac Plus I had in college. It was like, whoa, this thing is
– I used a Mac
Plus. Awesome.
I was in a class – this is – apropos of nothing. I was in this class. It was a new media class. And the only things I got out of this class, and I got a C in this class. It was just like one of those 3-hour classes you only have one night a week. with the boring structure, and it was at like 7 o'clock at night, so you've had a whole day of classes.
Oh yeah.
And then you've had a full meal in you, and now you have to go sit and listen to a guy talk about.
Now your brain is completely off.
Technology, yeah. That for me is like talking about math. The two things I got out of this class, I had to do I did a paper on high definition television in 91, and we all think, oh, that's. We just got high def here, but they were talking about it in 91. That they're like, oh, like 3 years, the U.S. will get high def.
Oh, yeah.
They were talking then, like, oh, and look at it. Just shows you how long these things take to effect. Because that's my point. Is like, we think about the internet, and we really didn't, full use of the internet didn't happen until the mid 90s.
Yeah.
You know? And so, all the way back in the early 80s, they were already starting to create that. It just takes so long. The other thing I got for that class was that I found. What a forum was. We had to go to these computer labs. You didn't know we had computers in the rooms like they do now.
Right,
so I had to go to an actual computer lab, and everything, there was no, it's not like, you know, everybody thinks, oh, you go to a forum, you think of the internet we have now, but it was actually just, you know, you had to type in a code, and it was a black screen with a bunch of, you know, screen, like you used to see, like a bunch of green letters popping up, and you type in a response like, oh, I love that show, The Flash. I think it's great. Do you think it's coming back? And it's like, The Flash is stupid. I got to see Geek Nation that literally in front of my eyes. It's like how the nerds were going to take over the internet and command commandeer it was happening in 91 with just a bunch of people typing, The Flash, oh, that John Wesley Shipp. He's a terrible Flash. Okay, I'm sorry.
And now you got, and now you've got your kids have our kids have iPhones and iPads that had more power than, you know.
Well, yeah, it's like that computer that the computers that they needed in order to create like that system for taking all the FBI logs were probably the size of my garage. That's how big, you know, that's how big those computers were. Now, you know, it's all on. That was just one computer. Now they have just, you know, thousands of computers fill up space that size. You know, it's crazy.
Well, you remember those like the little key fobs, the little memory sticks. Remember, it used to be like 100K. You were like, ooh, I got 100K.
Yeah, I can fit a document on this thing.
Yeah,
I fit this one page document. I'm going to take it to work with me because it's too big to email.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you only wanted
that
it to
was
be
a
hour,
nice little
Jeff.
Trip down.
Definitely wanted
lane.
It to be an hour long. And Stan goes to visit Frank, and we find out some more about Frank's backstory. We know that Frank came back from Vietnam with more than just PTSD.
Yep.
Post-traumatic stress. Yeah. Right.
Yes. PTSD. Yeah.
He came back with a wife.
A wife.
He has a Vietnamese wife. Not that that's a big deal, but it's
apparently a son. It looked like a son too. That might have
was that a son or her family?
Oh, I don't know. I took that to be you're right. Could have been a family
because those people look kind of old. I thought that they were like her family that may have died in Vietnam. And maybe they were rebels in Vietnam as well. But Frank is not happy to see Stan.
No.
He's like, why the heck are you in my house? And Frank pretty much hands it to Stan in this scene. It's great. He's like, Stan's like, Nina is in trouble, and I'm being asked to do stuff. And Gad's like, dude, shut your mouth.
Right.
I'm about to be called before a closed door congressional committee because of the crap you pulled. I don't want to know anything that's going on. And a great couple of shots. I like these nice two profile shots where they have Stan looking like, oh no, my mentor's mad at me. I mean, he really wounded, and the twitch.
Yep.
Game, you know,
the twitch.
And I love that, you know, Frank's like, is it possible that maybe you are in over your head, you know?
That was a great line, yeah.
It's like, I think she's in over her head. And he's like, is it possible that, did you ever think that maybe it's you in over your head? And it's like, oh.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you might have something there, yeah.
But, you know, I just had a thought. Is it what if, and this is just what if, Frank is recognizing some of himself in what's going on with Stan? Perhaps what if Frank's wife was a spy that he fell for in Vietnam. Is that possible? I don't know. Maybe it's a stretch. That's a stretch.
I think it's a stretch.
I'm reaching.
It's possible, but.
All right. I'm just trying to. No. Okay. Sorry. Next up, Oleg. Oleg is at the office. Oleg hands, this is what we were talking about earlier, he hands the information to Arkady talking about the logs. He does say the logs, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then he says, bam, ARPANET. And Arkady's like, what's ARPANET? And Oleg's like, that's why I'm here. This is the future, baby.
Yep.
This is how terrorism's going to work. This is how we're going to spy in the future. That's why I'm here.
Right.
You know? The future is why I'm here. The internet, just like you said. Crazy. Crazy. All right, now we get to Elizabeth meets with Lucy and she says, you got to tie up loose ends, baby. You got to get this thing done. They're going to trace this back to you once they figure out that the secrets have been stolen. Who do you think they're going to turn to? You think they're going to turn to the coke snorting congressional aide? No, they're going to turn to the cute intern that's been banging the congressional aide. I don't think she said it in those exact words, but those are the implications.
Yeah, you read between the lines, that's basically what she was saying.
A little more
yeah.
graceful, right?
Yep.
And guess what? Lucy's kind of fallen for the aide.
Yep.
She's like, I think I like him. And that's another, again, it's this thing about when you get into, when you're playing this game, you're playing these roles, you're still humanly connected, you know? There's right. still this human, there's still a possibility that you're going to, you know, that aide's not a bad guy, you know, granted he's, you know, an addict, but that's a disease. That's not his, you know, personality fault. And she's around him all the time, you know, so she sees something good in him. And maybe, in a way, that's what Elizabeth is afraid of with Clark, you know, that Clark is falling for Martha. Like,
right. That it's more than just a mission, right?
Right. That maybe he's able to express inside of himself that he can't express with me, you know?
Right.
And that's why she's this jealousy. That's why she wants to be the Clark experience. I'm going to name a band that, the Clark experience. We're all going to come out in glasses and wigs and
nice.
the tan windbreaker members only jacket. And we'll play Devo music. And we'll call ourselves the Clark experience. I can't get no da-da-da, satisfaction. Oh, Stones are going to sue us. Sorry, Rob. Jeff is like, just wrap this up. Stop talking. I got to go to bed. So now the big scene, Lucy and the aide. Lucy and the aide are doing cocaine. Da-da-da-da. But not cocaine. They're not doing cocaine. They're partying, and he wants to shoot up some heroin.
But this is tough too, because not only is she feeling something for him, but he's clearly feeling something for her.
Oh, he loves her.
My mom's coming into town next week, and
that makes that seem more poignant.
Yeah,
and
she, you know, she sprinkles a little poison in his heroin.
This is my thing. This is like the coolest thing. I know I'm not wrong on this.
Okay,
if I'm wrong on this. I want the writers to come at me. She sprinkles cocaine on there. It's not poison.
Really?
And I'll tell you, now, I know this is, you're going to think this is a crazy stretch, but the
Does
reason.
Does this tie into Belushi?
Exactly. That's exactly what John Belushi. How did John Belushi die? He died of a speedball. You know what a speedball is? Speedball is heroin and cocaine mixed together and then injected into your veins.
Huh.
Now, and this is, the, and I know this is, this was the coolest thing about this, because I know that this has to be right. So why else would they bring up Belushi? They could have been talking about anything. That Belushi thing was so kind of random to be talking about, right? John Belushi's dead. He was great. And you know, the wife is like, oh, you're dying. You don't know when your time's going to come, right?
Right.
But and then you have this scene where he's going to shoot up cocaine. He's going to shoot up heroin, right?
Right.
She sprinkles some powder in there. Now, if she were to sprinkle poison in there, he dies of, like, you know, arsenic poisoning, right?
Right.
They're going to do an autopsy. They're going to find this poison in him, right? And they're gonna the fingers are gonna go right to her because her fingerprints are all over the house. Her hair, she's there in the house, but she sprinkles cocaine in there, and his body's ripped. He's obviously a coke addict.
Right, right.
She puts the cocaine in there. He takes a big injection of heroin, thinking I'm shooting up heroin. His body's not ready for a speedball. He dies, and he does it, and it doesn't affect him right away. It kind of is like something's not right, and then he starts to in the mouth. He's starting to spit. I thought now I know that this is. What?
No, you're probably right. That's probably, yeah.
To me, that was like just like, well, what's she going to sprinkle in there? How's she going to kill him? Well, put a point in it. I feel like the writers are in there going, she can't do that. No, it's her. She's got to be able to stay in an office. She's got to be able to call the
good job, Encyclopedia Brown.
Thanks, man. I thought that the writers were very clever in telling us what she did without telling us, like, she takes out a vial, marked cocaine, and taps it in there.
Very smart, very smart. I totally buy that.
Okay, thank you. I felt really proud of myself that I figured that out. I was like, oh, good. All right, sorry about the tangent. Sorry, John Belushi, we miss you. Belushi would have been almost 70?
Well, let me see when he was born. But continue while I'm looking it up.
Well, Lucia lets him asphyxiate in his own vomit, and she talks him through it. It's so sad. She's like, think of Dolores. Was his mom's name Dolores? Yeah.
Think of Doris.
Think of he's dying. It's just like, oh, it's tragic. And you can see that it's painful to her, too. And then we come back to...
Belushi was born in 49, so 60...
It would have been 60... 65 this year. Wow, that's crazy. Drugs will kill you.
Yeah, man. Say no to drugs.
Yes.
All right.
Paige, so where were we? Reading her Bible underneath the Rick Springfield poster.
Yeah.
Nice dichotomy. Nice dichotomy. Do you remember the girls that were so gaga? No, they were gaga about Duran Duran by the time you met them. Like, much of the girls in our 7th grade class, before they, like, the bunch of the girls who were in our 7th grade class with Mrs. Whitwell, huge Rick Springfield fans in 6th grade, and within a year they were Duran Duran fans. It was that quick. It was like, Rick's dead, it's Duran Duran, give me the guys in makeup. Well, with the eyeliner, I guess. Paige is reading the Bible, and it's an interesting moment because Elizabeth comes in and says, what do you guys do at that church? What's that all about, you know? And, you know, I don't mind if you read the Bible, tell me about the church. And Paige is like, you guys should come sometime. You come and see my church. And it's an interesting thing. That was cool. As I said, Paige is trying to bring the family together when they're slowly falling apart. They're going in weird places. Didn't see Henry again this week, did we?
No, not at all.
Poor kid. He gets no screen time.
Dude, you know what? You don't give a kid an Intellivision, he's not going to hang around.
I mean, well, he might be down in the basement or in his, you know, he may have found that stash of hustlers that Phillips keep. Henry, what are you doing in there? I'm just taking a shower. That's my little Rodney Dangerfield.
I was going to say, you did a little Dangerfield there.
I'm taking a shower. We're going to do 80s. 1982 was easy money. Oh, hey. No. Yes, 80, easy. Well, around that time. 83. Sorry. He was Caddyshack.
Okay. Caddyshack.
I hope they bring up, like, Sam Kinison in this show. Man, I love Kinison. And Church Lady. Okay. other events that happened in this episode that... might be important to the plot throughout the rest of the season. Nina breaks up with Stan. Nina feels, at least I don't know what.
He says in order to bring her in order for her to get protection from the FBI, she's got to do a lie detector test, and she's like, you don't trust me. And he was like, and it's one of those, it's one of those things in the show where you know, as he says to her, well, it's not for me, it's for them. You have to prove to them that you're not full of it in order to, you know, in order for them to protect you. And I kind of wanted him to stand up for himself a little bit more and be like, no, it's not me. I do trust you. But in order for me to back you up, I need them and they need it, you know.
Stan was a little bit of a sad sack in this episode.
Yes, he was.
He didn't have much of a bad backbone. He was having a bad week, that
he was.
Stan. You know. He was like a hero. He killed the guy who was going to assassinate a bunch of people, and he gets in trouble for it. You know, that's pretty much Stan's
life. Dude, when your wife paints your door tomato tango, you know, that's just not...
His house is red, man. He's a red.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe that's foreshadowing.
What? Duh! Are you kidding me, Jeff? Are you kidding me?
No.
Okay. And it was like the most blatant, like, Stan is going red. Like, oh, guys, come on. later, Phil confronts Larrick. Larrick is having some YMCA sex. There's a guy that walked out that looked like he was from the Village People.
Yes.
The big mustache and the biker outfit. He's having I'm sure it's unprotected, you know, sex in the back alley. You know, with a guy, and Philip stops him, and he has a gun on him, and Larry, he's like, I knew you were an agent, or he knew. It's like he basically knew he was being set up, didn't he?
Right. Yeah, he knew it.
He was pretty.
And while that's going on, you've got Claudia and Elizabeth in the car, kind of.
Now I was confused by that because I felt like were they? When I watched that, I thought, are they waiting for Philip? I couldn't really tell where they
were.
That's
what I thought.
But they weren't.
Right.
I don't think they were. I think they were at a separate location.
I don't know. It was weird.
It was a weird thing.
But then we find out why Claudia's been acting so weird. Probably why she was acting so weird.
Right.
Because if it turns out that Larrick isn't the guy who killed Emmett and Leanne, then and Elizabeth says, well, if it wasn't Larrick, then where do we look next? And Claudia says, well, you look at me. And then we find out that, Granny Goodness here has, she had a little bit of, she had an affair because, as she says, this is a lonely life that they lead.
Yes.
So she had a hookup and that guy probably told two friends and they told two friends and so on and so on.
And so on and so on.
So,
great commercial. Great little call out to that commercial.
Yeah.
It's a shampoo commercial, I think. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Go on. Sorry.
And so, she kind of paints it as when she says goodbye, Elizabeth, I kind of feel like that might be the last time we see her.
Well, I kind of get the feeling, that she's going to take care of that guy. That's what made me believe that maybe Claudia's gone rogue. She's out on her own. That maybe she knows that she goes back to Moscow, she might be.
She's toast. She goes back to Moscow? Oh, yeah.
So she's kind of like a fugitive from the KGB. So
yeah, she's got to be on the run, or she's got to be doing something because she knows she's in trouble for this screw up.
Yeah, and that's the end of the episode. Oh no, that's not the end of the episode. Did we miss the scene with Clark and back at Clark's apartment?
We talked about it, and then we glossed over it.
Yeah, because that was a devastating scene.
With Clark and
Happens earlier. Oh my gosh, we missed that totally. It did happen. They go and she says, "I want the Clark experience," and Clark's like, "You don't want it." He's like, "No, I want it." She's like, he starts doing the Clark thing, and she's like, "No, she's like, no, it's got to be different." Clark.
Yeah.
And then he takes her and he forces himself into her. I don't know. I wouldn't call it rape because I think it was unexpected what happened. I would not call. Would you call it a rape? What he did to her? I wouldn't call it that. I think it was
a lot more forceful than she was anticipating.
And I think she had a flashback.
Definitely. And then she was kind of messed up because did she screw up a good thing? The good thing that she was,
Yeah, that was the thing. Is she up until this episode, they seem to be building a really solid relationship. And then she goes and kind of messes it up.
And she messes it up, and then he goes into the bathroom and tries to take the wig off, and he gets a little messed up. But here's the thing, is that later on, this is before Paige says, this is the reason why I quit volleyball. It's because my church group is really cool, and we do cookies and drinks. And she comes into the kitchen, and she sidles up next to him, and she's like, are you mad at me?
Yes.
He's like, no, I'm not mad at you. And it was like, again, that was a nice moment. I liked it. It wasn't like the awkward, it could very easily have been the awkward, nobody's talking to each other kind of thing.
Right. But
she realizes that, hey, you know what? I like the fact that she came to him and through that, are you mad at me? Acknowledges that, you know what? I screwed up. This is on me.
Right.
And of course he's like, no, I'm not mad at you. And,
It
was a good scene.
It was a good scene. It shows, it's a marriage. It really is a marriage,
Yeah.
You make mistakes, you forgive each other, you move forward from afterwards. So I really want these two to succeed. It's crazy. I root for them to be able to find happiness with each other. I mean, I think that's part of the reason why I don't like, the Martha character. I find her annoying. And I wish, and nothing against the actress and nothing against the writers having that character on the show, but I don't like that storyline because I want to see, there's part of me that wants to see Philip and Elizabeth somehow make it. And that Martha part complicates it. As we've seen in the past couple of weeks, it really complicates everything.
Well, I also think that it's difficult to see something like that because while we do know that, okay, we know the history, we know that back in the day that there were Russian spies that were marrying American women and what, you know, they had no idea that these guys were spies. I think it's hard for us to, you look back at some things that take place in the 80s, ARPANET or other little pop culture things. Those are interesting, and you're like, oh, wow, that's what that was. But I still think it's hard to swallow to look back and see if there's this woman who's with this guy who's never around,
right.
Who has all this stuff, and then she's drinking the Kool-Aid as much as she is. And I think that it's a tough relationship to buy into.
Right, right. I agree with that. I do agree with that 100%. Yep, okay.
All right, then.
That was the end of the episode. Next week Criminy, I can't even remember what
next week. Nina's gonna get she gets lie detected.
Lie detected.
Yes.
Dun dun dun.